It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Citizens are taking pipeline construction regulations into their own hands.
How can we as citizens, you know, start to try and hold Mountain Valley Pipeline accountable for its construction practices, and also, to a degree, hold our state agency accountable, because they're the ones that are supposed to be doing this, right? Not us.
That story's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration announced Wednesday it would collect information on Appalachia's worsening epidemic of black lung disease. Sydney Bowles reports.
The announcement comes after an NPR investigation last year found that MSHA's failure to sufficiently regulate silica dust had contributed to the increase in disease among coal miners. Silica dust comes from quartz found in rock layers near coal seams and can be far more deadly than coal dust alone. Previously, MSHA said it would not address silica specifically and was requesting input on a 2014 coal dust rule instead. MSHA will accept comment for 60 days.
Earlier this month, two rural hospitals, one in Wheeling and one just across the river in Ohio, announced they were closing. In the following weeks, stakeholders have been meeting to discuss strategies for keeping at least part of the services the hospitals provided open, especially mental health care. Because, as Carol Lofton reports, losing a facility doesn't just impact the community, but can have ripple effects across the state.
Local policing is often associated with safety, writing traffic tickets, providing security at public events, responding to 911 calls. But a big part of the job also involves providing support services when someone is having a mental health crisis.
You're looking at the Ohio County Sheriff's Office transport van.
Outside of the Sheriff's Department in Ohio County, Major Nelson Croft gestures at a nondescript passenger van.
We use it for mental hygiene trips mainly, due to the sheriffs in Ohio or in West Virginia being taxed with all the transports to and from hospitals.
A mental hygiene order takes place when an adult applies for the involuntary hospitalization of another person who they believe is addicted to a controlled substance and/or mentally ill and likely to harm oneself or others. When that application is approved, it's the responsibility of the sheriff's department to pick that person up and take them to the hospital.
We have to take them through an emergency room first.
That's Sheriff Tom Howard of Ohio County.
From that emergency room, they get checked out and processed, and they will end up into the Hillcrest unit.
Hillcrest is the comprehensive behavioral health system located inside Ohio Valley Medical Center. The early August announcement that OVMC would be closing also meant the behavioral health unit would be going away. Close by Wheeling Hospital does not have inpatient psychiatric beds. Wheeling Hospital CEO Douglas Harrison has said publicly the facility is exploring the idea of adding inpatient beds as a short-term fix. But to date, no official plans have been made, which is a real problem for the Sheriff's Department.
Now, with us being at Fort Smith County,
meaning the Sheriff's Department isn't just transporting them to the local hospital, but is now in charge of that person until a bed can be found.
My staff would have to stay with them the entire time. And once that process begins, it could take 10 hours, it could take 20 hours, but my deputies have to stay with them the whole time, and once the order is finally issued, they will have to be transported
to a hospital that has inpatient psychiatric beds. And where doesn't depend on what's closest, but on what's available. Sometimes they just have to go to Fairmont or Morgantown, a trip that's about an hour and a half each way. But sometimes it's Beckley or Charleston, more than twice that far. Patients who have been involuntarily committed are entitled to a court hearing in their own county. So after that patient has been transported to the hospital, the deputies have to go and get them for their hearing. If they are released after the hearing, the deputies are done. But if treatment is ordered, the deputies may have to make the trip to Beckley or Huntington again with the patient. In other words, fewer officers on the street, and those who are working are going to be working a whole lot more.
Now, being a Fort Smith County, I have to have deputies every day of the week, which I don't have. So we're looking at the possibility of having to hire more deputies.
Outside the department, Major Croft nods at the van.
For the past several months, we have been taking trips on Tuesdays and Thursdays only. Just starting this week, tomorrow, I believe we are third trip of the week. We've had trips to Fairmont and Charleston so far. Now, as for tomorrow, we're not exactly sure where the trip's going yet. For instance, Monday, we were guaranteed a bed in Fairmont. So that was only if the trip left Monday. If we had to wait till our traditional Tuesday, they couldn't guarantee us a bed anymore. So instead of going to Fairmont, which is 2 hours, I may have had to send two deputies to Bluefield, which is 5 hours, or Huntington, which is about 5 hours.
And it's not just the Ohio County Sheriff's Department that will be affected. There is already a shortage of psychiatric inpatient beds in West Virginia, which is why Fairmont couldn't guarantee a bed even a day later. With behavioral health beds closing in Wheeling, that means more people vying for fewer beds across the entire state. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Special thanks to Corey Nallinger, who contributed to that story. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Charleston Area Medical Center and Marshall Health. Next week, we'll be exploring the hospital closure's potential economic impact on the community as a whole. Earlier this month, about a dozen citizens spent a weekend along the route of the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Volunteer monitors submitted close to 60 examples of what they deemed to be permit violations by the pipeline to the state environmental regulators. Citizen monitors say they're concerned state regulators don't have the bandwidth to effectively monitor construction across the pipeline's 300-mile route. Our energy and environment reporter Brittany Patterson reports that many states are grappling with pipeline monitoring. She says now citizens are getting involved.
As hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, has boomed in the Marcellus Shale, so too has pipeline construction in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. Since 2015, federal regulators have approved the construction of 10 interstate natural gas pipelines through West Virginia. These multi-billion dollar pipelines will carry billions of cubic feet of natural gas from Appalachia to the East Coast, as well as other markets and for export. But some have been besieged by lawsuits over issues ranging from forest crossings to water permits. Activists have locked themselves to equipment and protested in trees. Now, some citizens are taking construction inspection into their own hands. About a dozen volunteers spent a recent hot August weekend visiting Mountain Valley Pipeline construction sites from Monroe to Doddridge counties.
There was several things that we saw.
Somers County resident and organic farmer Neil LaFerrier organized the three-day inspection blitz. He says volunteers documented small problems like poorly maintained erosion controls as well as much larger ones.
Sediment laden water in one situation was overflowing the controls and going directly into a creek, so definitely affecting the waterways of the state, which is a big violation.
LaFerrier got involved with citizen monitoring after MVP contractors repeatedly showered his organic farm with erosion control pellets. He learned firsthand how complicated navigating the reporting process could be.
So when we started the process of trying to figure out how can we help, how can we as citizens, you know, start to try and hold Mountain Valley Pipeline accountable for its construction practices, and also to a degree hold our state agency accountable, because they're the ones that are supposed to be doing this, right? Not us.
LaFerrier was trained to collect complaints under a program run by conservation group, the West Virginia Rivers Coalition. Autumn Crow is their senior scientist.
We actually have a pipeline monitoring program that spurred off of our water quality monitoring program.
The program was created in 2012 to teach volunteers how to monitor their local trout streams to see if they were affected by the state's booming oil and gas industry. As more pipelines were approved for construction in West Virginia, the group expanded its reach.
So we expanded it even further to train citizens to be able to monitor visual impacts of pipeline construction, how to be able to spot a problem area along the construction route where sediment or erosion was getting into the streams. and then how to document that.
West Virginia Rivers collects the complaints and submits them to the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. The group worked with DEP's Enforcement Department to develop the training materials. In a follow-up interview, Crow said citizen monitoring, including this most recent violations blitz, fills an enforcement gap in West Virginia.
And what the VIO blitz was showing us is that there were multiple issues along the entire route that were not being addressed. And if not for our volunteers, a lot of those issues would have gone unnoticed.
The West Virginia DEP currently has 8 employees that handle pipeline inspections, up from just 3 in 2005. DEP spokesperson Terry Fletcher said in an email that the agency is confident in its ability to ensure pipelines are in compliance with their permits. But LaFerrier says the recent citizen inspections tell a different story. The Mountain Valley Pipeline alone traverses 200 miles in West Virginia.
They're not doing a good enough job. If we can go out and in 3 days find 60 violations here in West Virginia with a handful of people, how many violations, how many things are we missing? How many watersheds are being affected by this project that nobody's aware of?
West Virginia is not alone in its struggle to monitor pipeline construction. Part of the challenge with regulating these pipelines is that in addition to state agencies, multiple federal agencies are involved, says Sarah Gossman, an associate professor at the University of Arkansas School of Law.
So there are different levels of oversight by these different agencies, and I think anytime you have a fragmented legal system, it's difficult for that system to work collectively well, and it also creates a lot of confusion among citizens who are wondering who to call.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, approves a pipeline's route. The Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration is in charge of making sure it's safely constructed and responding if there's an accident. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers regulates construction impacts on wetlands and streams. And then state environmental agencies like the West Virginia DEP monitor the impacts of stormwater on pipeline construction sites. Gossman says citizen monitoring and advocacy have long been used as a tool in the environmental justice movement.
We're now seeing it applied to pipelines. And I think it makes sense in some ways because, again, just in terms of the resources that would be necessary to actually enforce compliance with all of our environmental laws, we don't have those resources, and it would frankly be very difficult to gather all of those resources within government agencies.
She says in recent years, Congress has given more money to the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration for inspectors. The agency has approximately 160 pipeline safety inspectors covering construction across the country. But as more gas pipelines are proposed, Gossman says it's likely citizen voices will grow louder, not just about whether pipelines are being constructed safely, but whether they should be constructed at all, and questioning whether the disjointed federal agencies involved in regulating pipelines have it covered.
We need to think holistically about pipelines, about where they're placed, what it means to have an accident in that particular place, what it means to have, you know, issues around stormwater and wetlands impacts in that particular place over the long term, rather than treat each of these particular issues, construction, operation, emergency response, as being separate.
So far, DEP inspectors have investigated and reported on just a handful of the citizen complaints. No official violation notices have been issued. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glenys Board. I'm Teresa Wills.